His Footsteps is our theme for this year. And in our theme this month, we're looking at promises and restoration. How God promises things, brings restoration to us, and how that all falls into place. And the subheading of this month under that is, He Knows Me By Name. Who likes the idea of Jesus knowing you by name? How amazing is that, yeah? Who's scared about Jesus knowing you by name and everything about you? There's a few hands going up. That's okay. A few hands. Thank you for your honesty, those hands going up. But I want to start with a story. There was a few Navy sailors who, went to a port in a major city. And these two men had leave and they thought, what a great idea to go out and have some drinks. So they've been out on the town and they've had quite a few drinks and they've ended up quite drunk. And as they're walking around, stumbling around the city, all of a sudden they realize they're completely lost. And so they look across the road and they see a gentleman walking on the other side of the road. And as in their drunkenness, they call out, "Hey, mate, we're lost. Can you help us?" It just so happened that it was their commanding officer who was so upset at their acting out and their drunkenness that he yelled back and said, "Do you know who I am?" And one sailor turns to the other in his drunken state and said, "We're in trouble now. We're lost, and he doesn't know who he is." I have taken that from Ravi Zacharias, so I didn't make it up, but he leads that in. The reason I lead into that is sometimes we are lost and we don't want to admit it. And sometimes we don't really know who we are. And we also don't want to admit that. In our lostness and in a place where we're not sure about our own identity and who we are, we're longing for that intimacy or personality that Jesus brings and brings us hope in that. In the Old Testament, we find this young man. His mother has prayed and prayed, and finally she became pregnant with this little boy. And she said, "Finally, I have a son and I'm dedicating him to the Lord." And this young man is now to stay in the tabernacle, in the ark, we're near the Ark of the Covenant, with an old man. And in the middle of the night, this young man hears this name, Samuel. And he doesn't know who it is. So he runs into this older gentleman and said, "Did you call me?" He said, "No, I didn't call you, go back." So this young man lays down again. "Samuel, Samuel." And he gets up and he runs back to this older man, said, "Did you call me?" And the older man says, "No, I didn't." He goes back, "Samuel." And the old man says, "Oh, you need to listen. I believe God is trying to talk to you." It's a beautiful picture. You guys know this story in 1 Samuel. You'll know it so well. There's this place where God in his intimacy is calling Samuel's name, Samuel. And then God speaks to him. We find another passage in John 20. As you know, we've been looking at the book of John and moving through. We've jumped from John 16, 17 to 20 because we're not looking so much at the Jesus on the cross passage as we're coming into his resurrection. In John 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Jesus had just died. They'd put him in this tomb. 3 days later, we find Mary going there. So she finds that the stone has been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Note that in bracket. They still didn't understand that. Verse 10, then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Oh, I'm often fascinated by this. She's just looked in, saw two angels, right? Is having a general conversation. "Well, they've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." She doesn't say, "Oh, wow, two angels are talking to me." Just does my little footnote there, all right? "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." There must have been a certain way that he spoke her name. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. See, Mary didn't really understand what had taken place. She was probably a bit lost, you know. Jesus, who was their leader, who was the miracle worker, who did so amazing things as a teacher, she saw him on the cross die, and now she's lost because she's coming to the tomb and she wants to mourn, and now she's more lost because the stone's been rolled and she can't find the body. What's happened? The other disciples have ran and see that it's empty. They run away, and she must be totally confused. Turns to who she thinks is the gardener. "What have you done with his body?" She didn't understand until Jesus turns and says her name. That intimacy, I've talked about this week after week, this intimacy, this journey that Jesus wants to take us on. The intimacy that he knows you by name and wants to speak into you, into your life, into who you are. Now, we see this with the Jews. God is saying, "I know you by name" to the Jews, but not only that case, not only to the Jews, we find in Isaiah this moment where God is talking to Cyrus, who is the Persian king at this time. It's time to release the Jews in captivity to the Babylonians. It's time to release them. So God's going to use Cyrus for this. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, this Persian king, whose right hand I I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. And I will go before you and I will level the mountains and I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. God is talking about Cyrus. By name, I'm taking you and I'm going to use you. For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides you. I am the Lord, and there is no other. God summons by name. He calls on each of us to do as he's calling us to do, to have a heart for him. How important are we? How special? Jesus even says it in Luke 12:6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do you know that? Do not be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. The hairs on the head are numbered. For some, it's more difficult than others.
Thanks, Pastor.
No worries, Andrew. But he knows them all, and they're all numbered. He knows you intimately. He knows every part of you. He knows who you are and he knows all about you. The trouble is that when we allow God or understand that God knows every part of us, we often look inside ourselves and we struggle inside ourselves because we don't want somebody to look inside us, because when we look inside ourselves, we're not so keen on what we see. And this passage, 1 John 3:19, I use it so often. Please, if it's not highlighted in your Bibles or you're not referencing it, I want you to think about this passage as Paul challenges us to think this. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. See, the thing is, our hearts are not at rest in the presence of Jesus because we know our own hearts condemn us. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. I really, really sit. I want to sit in this passage. It's the only passage that I find in Scripture, unless you guys can find another one, where there's this place where we talk about forgiveness to other people. We talk about forgiveness from God. The one big struggle that we all have is forgiving our own hearts. This passage is the passage I bring people to because this is so important. We know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, if we know that we look in our own hearts and something's not right, we struggle with our own personal selves. God already knows that. There's a freedom in that. There's a freedom in God knows that you're struggling. When Jesus says to Peter, throw the net over the side of the boat, and then the net fills up with fish. I'm going to talk about this next week, but I'm going to talk about it now, right? And the net fills up with fish. The very first thing Peter does is he goes before Jesus, falling on his knees and said, leave me, go away from me. Because if you can see in the water or see the fish, or you can organize a miracle like this, that means you can see into my own heart. You know me, and you know there's wickedness in my own heart. You know there's struggle in my own heart. And the beauty of that picture is Jesus is saying, yeah, I know, but now that you know, I can use you now. We're going to talk more about that next week. That place where our own heart condemns us. This intimacy and this understanding that God, that you like the idea of God knowing your name and knowing you personally, but the trouble is you look inside yourself and you go, I don't know. I don't know how God can actually love me because I'm not sure if I can love myself. And I'm not sure if I love myself, that God will accept me as well. But we find in Deuteronomy 31:6, this is God talking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. That's the enemy. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And in Hebrews, this passage is brought together. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. But what are those moments? What about those moments where you don't know who you are, when you're feeling lost? Jesus knows your name. He knows your name. Full disclosure here. Who's always been happy with their name? There's a few of you. Okay. Primary school, I never really enjoyed my name. I always wanted to be called Gary Jones. You wanted to be called Ben. Didn't work for you. Gary Jones was the coolest boy in school. He could play the best soccer and the girls liked him. Full disclosure, there you go. Sometimes we're not always happy with our name. Sometimes that's attached to even our identity. Full disclosure, my name is Bernard Peter Betts. That's my real name. Did you know that? Some of you do, some of you don't. You say, well, why aren't you called Bernie?
Why?
That's why. No. Actually, I think Bernard is a great name. My father's name was Bernard, so my mother would call me Benny as a little kid. Benny Betts, little Benny Betts, not so little anymore. Benny Betts. And so I grew up with Benny and then it moved to Ben. And so I've carried Ben for all these years. But when I go to the motor registry to get my license, they call out, Bernard Betts. Oh, that's me. Names. God gives us names and identity. And he knows us intimately. But there's moments in our journey where we're a bit lost, where we're a bit in the crowd, where we feel like things are happening for other people and we feel like we're left out. There'll be moments in your life, in your journey, where you thought things were happening for everybody else, but it wasn't happening for you. There's moments where you haven't been sure about who you are, or you might be a bit lost. We long for that place and that understanding that Jesus knows you from the crowd. We long for that moment when Jesus knows you from the crowd and wants to separate you from your own thoughts of your own mind. Jesus wants to take you on a powerful and mighty journey. He knows you intimately. He knows all about you. He loves you. And he says, come, come with me. Come with me and let me take you on a powerful journey. And he's saying to you, come, take others on this powerful journey. He knows you by name and he loves you. Amen. Lord, thank you for loving us as you do. Thank you that you know us, that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, that you know our name, you know every hair on our head, you know all about us. And even in those darkest moments, even when we look inside ourselves and we're not happy with ourselves, you love us, you care for us, and you accept us. You want us to come to that place of recognizing we've made mistakes. You want us to come to that place where we recognize we've done wrong. You want us to come to that place where we repent and we say we're sorry. And you want to accept us and embrace us and take us in as one of your own. Thank you, Jesus. I pray particularly right now, Lord. Locate those this morning. Locate them that are feeling like they're empty. Locate the hearts now that feel like they can't come before you, Lord Jesus. Locate those who feel like they're lost in the crowd this morning and come and meet them. Come and speak to them in their heart language. Bring a new joy in their step today, letting them know that you love them no matter what, and you love them to a point that you know them intimately. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy, your love and your care, and the way that you know us and have created us individual. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.